Hi, this is Adam Carolla. I want to thank you for supporting this podcast on the Carolla Digital Network. Everyone here at Carolla Digital is very proud of the shows that we put out every week and are excited about the future of our network. However, a patent troll is threatening that future by suing us. We need to fight back and beat the troll down. If we go down, all the other shows on the other networks you've grown to love are going to go down next. Visit fundanything.com/patent troll to donate and find out other ways that you can help beat the patent trolls. Thank you and mahalo. Buying a car can be a stressful experience. TrueCar.com is changing that forever. Simple, fair, and a fun way to buy a car. TrueCar users save time and money, helping them to never overpay.
You know you get the fair price because they show you what others paid for the car you're looking for. TrueCar analyzes what people are paying for their cars in your market and shares it with consumers so they never have to overpay.
Genius. Over a million cars have been sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and users see an average savings of $3,046 off MSRP. Drew, stifle yourself. Three steps here.
All right.
Go to TrueCar.com. Yeah. All right was not stifling yourself. Go to TrueCar.com. Find out what other people paid.
Then register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings certificate.
Then take it to the TrueCar Certified Dealer for a hassle-free buying experience.
Save time, save money, never overpay. TrueCar.com.
This is Carolla Digital. Recorded live at Carolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice. Get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Once again, Adam Carolla is out. He's shooting his movie Road Hard. So, you guys got me, your new host. Adam's gone. I'm subbing in now on.
Who are you?
Brad Williams.
That's right.
Yes. Brad Williams from the world famous About Last Night podcast.
I hope.
And I'm coming in, and Dr. Drew is still here.
Such a treat having you. Always. It is. And keeping the oars in the water here, so we just keep this podcast going forward. I think it's nice. Adam will be back in a few weeks. We'll have fill-in hosts for the next 3 weeks or so. Is that about
for
right?
The coming weeks, yeah.
Coming weeks. And I may go. What I'm going to try to do is go find him on the set. No? Not looking good?
We'll see.
I want to try to do that.
Yeah.
Take our little portable thing, do a half hour with him on the set or something.
Now, when you say
he'll
go find him on the
movie.
Set, that's just you trying to get in the movie. Right?
You just want to show up. And not just me. Well, thanks for that. It's not just me wanting to get in the movie. It's me more really what I'm looking to do is give him shit for not putting me in the movie.
Okay.
Even though I'm standing right there on the set, he still won't allow me in front of the camera.
Well,
motherfucker.
I mean,
what kind of a friend is that guy?
It's a very tight cast.
Have you seen that Olsen Twins movie?
He's seen it?
Yeah.
Somebody told I had an intern at CNN last week who said that was her favorite movie of all time, I'll have you know.
What?
Was that the one that got terminated?
Did you go? No. Have you seen the film?
Seen enough.
you've watched the online little snippets.
Yeah, I've seen the clips with you in it.
Shut up. That's before I had my acting class.
Yeah,
hey,
now you had-
hey, on legit, marked improvement.
See?
Very good.
See?
I liked
so.
You on legit.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I can play myself like nobody else.
I mean, yeah, I think you actually beat out both Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz to get the role of Dr. Drew.
I absolutely had to. I had to audition for myself in my own role. But no, listen, I think some of that is, Gary, 10 or so years of therapy and being okay in my own skin now. I recommend that for anybody who wants to act, by the way.
It's also 10 more years of media experience.
Sure.
Yeah, I suppose.
You're in front of cameras a lot more
now
than you were back
then. It's a good
point.
I lived in front of reality cameras for a long time, and I didn't really never really done that before. And so to me, playing myself is just like being on a reality show. So yeah, I guess that's right. That's interesting. That's a good point.
Certainly worked out for you. Maybe you can bribe Kevin Hench to write in a scene where the character that Adam plays has to go
get
on love line. Yeah.
Ooh, go on love line.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Go on love line.
Mike Catherine. Oh, just like Jim did.
Yeah, exactly. Go
Jim
on
Jeffries.
And then you could analyze Adam from that role and then throw in little barbs that you've been holding in personally for years. It'll be good.
You know, they're so deeply suppressed, so stomped on. In fact, I noticed there's a certain elation in our staff here without Adam around. I don't know if you noticed that. It's not just that they like you and you're funny. Literally, they let leak out. We don't feel so stressed right now. No one's yelling at us.
Well, I will say this about Adam.
And by the way, what are you guys worried about? Like, he's going to listen to this? Are you fucking kidding me?
I never said that.
Yeah, the hell. I can see it in your face. I see it in your eyes.
Wait, you can see it in his eyes? He's Asian. I can't see any emotion in that.
Can't see his eyes?
They're just always there. They're not really
Asian. He's some weird suspect of nationality.
Constantly sleeping.
I mean, and here's the thing about Adam Carolla is that I shot the movie Road Hard yesterday. Did a little part in there. And Adam is like how you hear him on his podcasts all the time. That is not a character. I was sitting in the green room with him, and there was a picture of two comedians on the green room table. They're like a husband and wife couple, and said, like, come see these award-winning comics. And Adam picked up the picture, looked at it, and then went on a 10-minute rant about why people would do that kind of picture, what to expect. And I was just sitting there, and it was just me and one other person. And he's ranting for us.
Right.
And it's
you,
just that,
oh,
that.
You thought he didn't do that. You didn't know?
Oh, I.
Imagine being his wife. Imagine being his son.
Oh.
I find you a picture, if you give me a minute, of him lecturing, ranting to our pilot outside of Burbank Airport. Because he made the mistake of coming out and saying, hey, I'm a big fan, and our car was like 10 minutes late. He spent 10 minutes doing stand-up on the sidewalk of Burbank Airport.
It's not stand-up to him.
No, I know, but
he's talking.
He's talking about life.
A casual observer walking by would think that was stand-up. Mm-hmm. But that's just Adam.
And it's not like he's and it's not like he thinks, oh, I'm building my muscle now. No, he's
he has to get this out.
He's complaining.
Right.
This is the listen, there's a whole thing. I described this a couple times to people, and I don't think they believe me. On the plane, whenever he and I travel around the country a sure. lot. So the first move I knew I'd have to like prepare myself, like get myself worked up for, provided we didn't ride over in the same car, which was always hell, because I'd have to make phone calls and stuff, and he'd be giving me shit about that because I was not listening to him.
Right.
But we get on the plane, he would start the here's the move. The second we get on the plane, sits down, sunglasses go on, Bloody Mary is ordered, it starts. Mm-hmm. And if I so much as lean over, try to get something out of my bag or something, again, it's the same as me putting a cup down here. I'm distracting him. What, mm-hmm. You're not listening. All right. Sorry, it gets all upset. So I have to like focus, lean in and focus, okay, while we go on whatever, something mm-hmm. about the car, something about the service, something about sure. airplanes, why they aren't this, why they aren't that, what's wrong with the chick's attitude, this bring me the Bloody Mary, why couldn't she make it a double Bloody Mary, why the fucking first class, do they you know, not have a Bloody Mary mix, and why do they not have to have meals for me, I wanted the chicken, I didn't want the mushroom. Okay, goes on, and mm-hmm. I have to pay, I mean, I will eat shit if I don't lean in and pay careful attention until, mm-hmm. until, I as the plane takes off, stuff, I'll start to lean back a little bit. But I'll still have to be like, I don't have to lean in the whole time, but I have to lean back. All of a sudden, it stops. It just stops. And that's what I know.
Does he run out?
No. His head's back, tongue's hanging out. He's completely asleep.
Oh, he's asleep.
He goes from ranting, couple Bloody Marys in, from ranting yeah. to asleep. But it does not stop until sleep ensues.
Until he's asleep.
And I have to pay careful attention until then. Every flight, every time. That's right.
And if you put in the earbuds, if you put in the eye mask.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He'd be punishing me. And he says, I have to sign up for Dollar Shave Club. I have to listen to that all the time, too. Razors are expensive because the billion-dollar shave companies are pumping out technologies you don't need to get you to spend more money. That's why Adam has switched to DollarShaveClub.com and tells me about it all the time. Quality razors, other cool bathroom stuff. You like the shaving cream, the butter.
I do like Dr. Carver's Easy Shave Butter.
And the other cool thing that Adam, again, will give me 20-minute material on is the butt wipe.
Yeah, the butt wipe, which I think they have in like a mint now.
Which if you're like Adam, he says cleaning that area is like taking peanut butter out of shag carpet.
Woo!
So just go to DollarShaveClub.com, pick a razor plan, three to choose from, and every month you get a package in the mail, razors. You don't have to go into the grocery store or the pharmacy and wait for the person to come over with the key, which takes them about 20 minutes. And then if you're
You don't have to buy the razor that has a flashlight attachment and a
vibrating razor. But if you're Brad, you also have to have the indignity of having to jump up to get your razor. It just shows up at your door.
Oh, that's terrible.
Join me, Dr. Drew, and hundreds of thousands of guys who've upgraded to the smarter way to shave. Shave time, shave money. Join DollarShaveClub.com/AdamDrew. Not Adam Andrew, just Adam Drew. That is DollarShaveClub.com/AdamDrew. Yeah, it is a intense experience traveling with Mr. Carolla. Patton Oswalt, you'd mentioned him and some of the presentations he's done at comedy festivals.
Yeah.
Patton is a super, super smart guy.
Yeah.
He always has something interesting to say, and I don't know if people understand that about him, how crazy smart he is.
Well, I mean, and there's a clip online when he did a spot on Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Where he was playing a guy that was doing a filibuster, and he improvised an entire, was it like 15-minute speech on Star Wars?
Fan fiction?
Yeah, like Star Wars fan fiction, and he just improvised it. And the entire long-form clip is on – the entire clip didn't make air, but the long-form clip is on YouTube. And you could tell that this wasn't something that – he was sort of just like he had thought about this for a while and he was dedicated to this. And he finally just gets out of breath and he pops up and goes, "Did you get it?" And the entire crew just
dying.
Erupts in laughter because they've been holding it in for 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
I always like comedians like that where they make people. Because I look at a LeBron James and go, I can never do that. Obviously, yeah. I'm 4'4". I don't think I could ever play pro basketball. That's not the thing.
Just think so. But who knows? You never know, Barrett.
Your average person looks at a LeBron James, looks at a Von Miller from the Denver Broncos and says, I cannot do that.
Right.
I like comics that are so intelligent and so good that your average person looks at them and goes, I cannot do that.
Yes. Yeah.
No way.
No way. Yeah. And how does he do that?
And I do it for a living.
Almost like a magic trick.
Yeah. I do it for a living, and I still look at Patton and go, I can't do that. Yeah. And I do in some way do that.
I don't know if the public at large understands that about him.
Yeah.
Because he really deserves serious props for how keen his observations are, how smart he is.
And still plays Dungeons and Dragons.
Does he really?
And I know that for a fact because a buddy of mine is in his Dungeons & Dragons group and still plays it.
Wow.
So he is a dedicated nerd.
Dedicated nerd.
That is not faked, ladies and gentlemen.
We've had some calls on hold for a while here. Let's get right to them. Let's start to line five. We'll start with that. Chad from
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Chad.
I'm a big fan. Brad, you're the greatest.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for holding, Chad. What's going on?
Livermore, California, up north.
Yep.
Yes, sir. I'm about 30 years old. My father is about 64. And growing up, he never really took an interest in me or any of my brothers unless we were kind of interested in what he was in.
Which is what? What is he into? What is he into?
Oh, like fishing and outdoor, shooting, trapping, things like that.
Okay.
That never really went well with me. So I didn't really develop much of a relationship with him. And now I'm realizing that we're getting older. I might be running out of time. I'm trying to at least assemble somewhat of a relationship with him. And I'm just kind of meeting a brick wall. I had told your call screener that his brother died last November and lived directly across the street from him. And they talked maybe once a year, if that.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell he's feeling regretful about not talking to his brother. And I'm trying to use this as an opportunity to develop a relationship with him, but still kind of, I can't really break through,
Do you want me to answer this as Adam or as Brad?
If you could humor me with both, I'd be happy.
Yeah, both. Well, he wants both, but I'm just thinking that whatever it's going to be, it's not territory that he is comfortable with or familiar with. So it's going to be awkward and weird for him no matter what you do. But go ahead.
Sure.
Adam first?
Adam would say, don't bother. Adam Carolla would say, you're not going to change the leopard stripes.
You certainly are not. That's
spots.
True. Yeah. That is true.
You'd say, this person is set in their ways. They've had their routines. They've had all this time not to do this, haven't thought of it, and they're not going to continue. That's how Adam Carolla would tell you to do.
Yeah. How about Brad?
me personally, can you find any sort of common ground with him in terms of any sort of outdoor activities that he likes to do? Anything?
I've tried. Like, I remembered sketches that I found when I was a kid that he had done, mm-hmm. and I've always been the artistic type. So I try to find the meeting ground with him on that. You know, when I ask him, "Hey, how come you don't sketch anymore?" You know, like those were really good. You know, maybe that's where I got my artistic, you know, inclination that I saw you doing that. And most I can get from him is I don't know.
Well, okay,
he's
so
just kind of a cool guy, right. And I you
right.
Know.
So that's right, not going to change. You can leave. I want to talk to him. Sorry, and that's not going to change, right? You're not going to change your dad into the dad you wish he was. Do you get that?
Right.
Okay.
I understand
so,
it, yeah.
So the best you can have is to, first of all, be a good son. So you got to do what you need to do to be, you know, satisfied. You've done what you think a good son should be, right?
Yeah.
That's for you. That's not for him. That's for you. Yeah. Now, hopefully he'll benefit from that too. But you're doing that for yourself. Number two, the highest probability of making some kind of connection with him is going to be, let's call it side by side. Do engage in activities that are active, that are not face to face, and that are not really that directly intimate. They're going to be intimate inferentially. They're going to be you're going to participate together in some sort of experience side by side. And in there, you'll see him open up a little bit, but it won't be what you wish. Like, so you're going to have to meet him on his ground, which is like fishing or hiking or something, mm-hmm. where it's a side-by-side activity that he's into.
And by the way, those are great activities just for that.
Not bad for you, right. Yeah. Not bad for you. And just generally, this is a good strategy for males that are not, you know, comfortable with emotional landscape.
Sure.
You do things with them. You don't sit face to face. Women sit face to face. Men don't dig that very much. Some men can. I like.
Yeah,
that,
we go.
Adam points out, I'm mostly chicks. So.
we go to a ball game. We sit down next to each other.
No, the degree of closure you're describing is certainly a certain kind of thing, a certain generational thing. But there are plenty of guys out there that are 19 the same way.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Yeah.
Same way. We like just being with that person is enough in most guys' minds because we say, well, we could be doing anything, but we're choosing to be here.
We're together.
The fact that we're doing this together, that's enough. And even
think of the
if we
bonds that men get in war. I mean, they're not sitting there talking about their emotions. They're just doing something side by side in intense environments.
My dad is currently going through skin cancer treatments, mm. and he's doing the chemotherapy, and he is having a bond with those fellow men in doing that chemotherapy with him. Not saying that your dad should just go out and get cancer for a bonding experience, but
of course
just,
not.
but just having that similar experience, having that thing that you both have gone through, whether it be going out to fish, doing, and also. It's not like he's doing curling. Like hiking's not that bad.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
Fishing's not terrible. You go out there, you throw your pole in the water, you have a couple beers. It's a good time. It's not like, you know, he's not having a sense of, my dad's favorite thing to do is to watch every single Air Bud movie back to back to back to back. Like, no, it's actually a fun activity. So enjoy it.
All right, my friend. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, guys.
You know what else is a fun activity? Fantasy baseball.
Yep.
That's right.
Oh, thank you for that.
You bet. Opening day, DraftKings.com awarded over $500,000 in cash prizes, and there is much more to come. Our listeners of this podcast, have won hundreds, thousands, even $1 million with DraftKings just watching sports and playing fantasy. A guy named Sam won $100,000 his first time ever playing. And again, it is one-day fantasy sports, so there is no season-long commitments. You don't get stuck with lousy players. You just do it that day, then it's instant cash every single day. Brad, what say you?
Right now, you can play for free to win real cash. Enter Drew at DraftKings.com and get free entry into next week's contest with 400 grand in guaranteed cash prizes. 400 grand. That's a lot of cheddar. Hurry. Free spots are going quick. Enter Drew right now at DraftKings.com.
Let's go to line four there. Natalie is calling for us from New York. Hi, Natalie. What's going on?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good.
So my question is, I have been basically taking care of my mother for the past couple of years. She has bipolar paranoid schizoaffective disorder, as was told to me by her doctor.
Okay, so hold on.
Yeah.
So schizoaffective is neither schizophrenia nor bipolar, but
okay.
It has features of both.
Okay.
And so, yeah, and so the bipolar quality is part of the schizoaffective. And
okay.
Schizoaffectives are a particularly difficult population to sort of get along with. They're kind of unpleasant.
Really? Bipolar and schizophrenic combined into one? Is it just delightful?
By the way, either of those can be delightful. They can be kind of fun.
She's actually the sweetest, nicest person you would ever meet in your entire life.
Except
when she is taking her medication.
Right, except when she goes into her moments.
Right.
And then
they're
very difficult to deal with.
Yeah, she's mostly the paranoid, always thinks, even when she's on her medicine, always thinks somebody's breaking into her apartment, and people at work want to get her, and people want to break into her bank accounts, and just very paranoid about everything, always worrying, like, if there's little children around. She's like, we had a bonfire once, and she was afraid they were going to catch on fire. Like, I mean, it was ridiculous.
Right.
And that's, like, when she's even still on her meds.
Right. It's not a perfect fix.
I've been having a really difficult time. I'm the only one she has to take care of her. She's pretty good. Like, she works, and she's self-sufficient and stuff, but just, you know, it's taxing on me.
Yeah.
But the biggest problem is that she does not believe that she has any mental illness, even though she takes Risperdal, she takes Ativan, she takes Pamelar. I mean, she's on all these medications and has been on them for probably 30 years or more.
Yeah.
And she's been hospitalized, and she goes to the, but she thinks it's because she was, like, hit in the head with a rock or something when she was a kid. Like, she is not
all right,
accepting.
Well, let's say that's what it is. Let's just call it a brain disorder. Let's say the hit in the head did it. So, okay.
Whatever gets her to take the meds.
Yeah, the problem with many mental illnesses is that one of the features is they lack insight. They particularly when it's a personality functioning, it's the world that's the problem, not them. And that's just the nature of the condition. So it's a tough thing. I'm surprised that she is so recalcitrant about sort of I would bet, correct me if I'm wrong, Natalie, but I would bet it's more when she's talking about a specific preoccupation. If she were to say, you know, they're breaking my bank account, and you were to say, Mom, that's your mental illness again, fuck you, it's not. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the thing is she's so, like, fragile about everything. Like, anything you say to her can kind of, like, snap her into, like, being depressed and upset. And so I'm always, like, afraid to address that.
Right.
Like,
well,
so there
you go.
With her.
Yeah.
Right. But the main thing is, like, she works part-time, but she's been having a really difficult time. Like, she calls out all the time because she doesn't feel good, all these things. So I've been trying to get her to, you know, try to apply for disability. She was on it once before, but she got too paranoid to be on it for some reason, so she got off of it.
What kind of work does she do?
She's just a cashier. I mean, she does simple, works part-time, can barely pay for everything, you know.
It's
very difficult. So I'm wondering if it's maybe just something that I can't really help her with, and more I need to just help myself accept, if you know what I mean.
Well, why the tears? Why is it frustration or sadness? What is that?
Both.
Sadness and frustration.
Mm-hmm. I feel really just sad for her that she can't. She's not in reality ever.
Natalie, that's a very legitimate emotion you're having, right? Which is sort of A, empathizing with her and realizing how sad that is, and also B, kind of feels like you're mourning, letting go the sense of her as a whole person, you know, mm-hmm. right?
Probably.
Are you just coming to terms with this all now?
The past couple of years, because she's been like this my whole life, but...
No, but it sounds like you're really, like, really coming to terms with
this
stuff.
Well, I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, Natalie, you're 24.
Yes,
it's
true.
And when 24 is when you're supposed to be sort of really moving away from childhood and really starting to get solidified into yourself as an adult. And right now you have this thing where now you have to become uber adult and be taking care of your mom when you're still trying to figure out who you are. And that's that's got to be frustrating. And
by the way, how extraordinary that she was able to raise a woman like you.
Yeah.
That's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Is your dad very involved?
he has his own issues, alcoholic, been in out of rehab.
Okay, so you got to be careful that this all isn't getting to be codependency. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah, because I see you may be triggering my codependency on you, and then you're going on them. And,
sorry.
Well, see, that's codependent. Apologizing to
apologizing,
me for
right.
making me have a feeling.
Yes.
But the feelings you're having, though, are quite legitimate in the direction they're going, which is coming to full terms with what's really going on here. It's very legitimate. It's not going to feel good, of course.
Do you have any siblings, Natalie?
I do. I have a brother, but he lives across the country. And,
okay.
Yeah, he doesn't really.
So he got out of there.
Yeah, so
he just got out.
Yeah,
of there.
So I always joke with him that
he escaped.
You know, he's older, so he was able to leave first.
He escaped.
Yeah, sure. He left when he was 18. So yeah. I mean, he just picked up and left.
Yeah. And that's his way of surviving this. So
okay. Yeah, I guess like my question mainly is like, is there something I can do to help her, or am I like feeling this way more because I'm starting to realize maybe there's nothing I can do, and that is what's upsetting me. Maybe I need to, like, try to help myself more than her.
You have answered your own question, my dear. Really. Okay. Come on now. Because anything else is extreme codependency. Where you're gonna sacrifice your life, which sounds quite whole, full,
yeah,
for a person who is ill and doesn't want it, doesn't want you to do that.
Right.
Right.
Not only doesn't want you to sacrifice your life, she doesn't want you to drive insight home. She's okay trundling along as she does.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you are going to have to be – you do have a special cross to bear with having a sick mom.
Right. And that I'm trying to, like, figure out the balance of –
Yeah, it's a balance. That's right. And okay. Get – you know, and I would discuss all this with her caretakers and team and see what – you know, one of the things I always try to do when I'm taking care of somebody who has a – involve family members to help that family member not become another patient. So what do I think, you know, what do I think
yeah.
the patient needs to spell the family so they can have a life? That's a really important role for your caretakers to have.
I guess it's been really hard because I can't, I mean, she doesn't accept that she has it. So for me to really, I mean, I only talked to her doctor one time because she was having a very serious episode and was almost hospitalized.
No, you need to get in there. Find a way.
But it's hard for me to get her to allow me to do that because she doesn't, like, accept. So, I guess, do I just, like, let it go at that point? And,
you can either let it go or start to say it's hurting me and I want to be able to help myself. Don't you want that, Mom? Don't you want me to feel better? You know,
mm-hmm.
I want the advantage of talking to your doctors, too, so I can get a little help here. I'm sure she'll say get your own doctors, which is another way to go about this. That is another way to do this. But again, you're fine, Ellie. You're finding your way. All right.
Okay.
But don't sacrifice your life. Do you have your relationship's okay?
It's great. I mean, he's I don't know what I would have done.
Is a boyfriend or what?
My fiance.
Okay. Where are you calling from?
New York.
New York. Yeah.
It's a big state.
Oh.
Yes.
Where?
I'm about an hour north of, like, New York City, kind of close to Poughkeepsie area. I don't know if you're familiar.
Up 91 or 89, whatever that is.
Yeah, 84, I think.
84.
Maybe. Okay.
Poughkeepsie up towards Saratoga Springs, up that way?
Too far. I just know Albany. That's the only place I know.
That's
yeah,
up there.
That's about a couple hours north of me.
Even. Exactly.
So I'm, like, Westchester, kind of near there. White
Oh, you're right there. Oh, okay. You're right by the city.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, about an hour.
All right. Well, good luck, Natalie.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. So let's put her on hold. Let's us take a break. Be right back with more of the Adam and Drew Show featuring Brad Williams. Woo! Allison
Rosen. Hey, everyone. It's me, Allison, from Allison Rosen is your new best friend. On Monday, I sat down with 30 Rock and Mindy Project's Jack Burdett, and we talked about all sorts of stuff, and he spoke for the first time publicly about a heartbreaking family tragedy. And then on Thursday, I was joined by Matt, Jenna, Chris, and Gary, and Jenna made a somewhat startling revelation.
I like Bean, too.
Subscribe to Allison Rosen as your new best friend on iTunes or go to AllisonRosen.com. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. I love you. Allison's your new best friend.
Welcome back to the Adam and Drew Show featuring me, Brad Williams.
That's right. What a pleasure. What a privilege. We're all on vacation. I don't have Corolla beaten on us. You guys, can I?
You know, he came up to me one day
And he was bummed that you always say stuff like that.
Bullshit.
I swear, he was legitimately sad.
Genuinely
what did he
hurt.
Say? What it's did like, he say exactly?
Like, why does Drew always do that? Call you guys like the roaches that scatter.
Because you do!
I don't know.
Oh, come now.
I don't know. He was really
bummed out. This is why he does
that.
That's why he behaves the way he does, because you guys never ever talk about it, honestly.
Now he's trying to get you guys back on his side against Drew.
Of course.
He's trying to rally
the troops. I'm just trying to talk about honesty here.
Yeah.
Don't look at me like that, Gary. You know I'm speaking
the
truth.
Oh, you're honest about us, but if he starts yelling at you, you're the biggest fucking puss in the world.
What
you
do
start
I do?
Acquiescing to anything he wants and agreeing with him.
So point it out to me next time I do that.
I would happily,
because it's hard when you're – you know it's hard when
you're – Listen, yeah,
play.
That's what – that's.
I'm trying to help you guys. I need you to help
fittest.
Me. I need you to survive.
You guys need marriage counseling.
We need me and Adam or me
yeah.
and Gary? Or
no, you and Adam.
Marriage counseling.
Yeah.
It's been suggested.
Expert.
You know,
sure.
I was thinking about that last caller and the paranoid mom.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are paranoid these days about the internet and about their ability to keep – I'm paranoid about this – but keep their passwords private and their access to their bank accounts and whatnot. Identity thieves are shrewd. Target your check account, savings account, your cash, your retirement, and you cannot fight this alone. So – here's what we do to protect our accounts. LifeLock Ultimate. It's the most comprehensive ID theft protection ever created. It guards your identity and credit and even monitors your bank accounts for takeover fraud. It has been awarded the best in detection amongst ID protection programs. It's crazy. We have to spend money now to protect ourselves, but it's sort of like having insurance for a car. Cars were a technological advance. And then we had to spend money to keep that advance going, like buying tires and buying gasoline and having insurance. Well, now the same is true of the internet highway man. The internet.
Was that a true sniff?
That we have to protect ourselves using protective organization sniff. Protection services like LifeLock. Brad.
LifeLock services can't protect you or your bank accounts if you're not a member. So visit LifeLock.com and enter promo code DREW, D-R-E-W, for our special 10% discount. That's promo code DREW at LifeLock.com to get our special 10% discount, LifeLock.com.
With that, if I get you 10% off the other expenses to maintain technology, 10% off your insurance, 10% off your gasoline, you would run out and do it.
Absolutely.
It's time to get LifeLock.
Sounds good to me.
All right, so I'm sorry, Brad. I interrupted you about me needing marriage counseling for my old.
Well, I just
think about the fact that Adam and I are still friends after all these years. 20 years.
20 years.
20 years.
Yeah,
and he'll never listen to this. We might as well speak honestly.
Sure.
Yeah, so
this has been venting with Dr. Drew about Adam Carolla.
You do understand people can tweet him this stuff 140 characters at a time with no context.
He'll never pay. But I'm going to compliment. He actually described me and Jimmy as his only friends right now on an interview on some website or something.
Really?
I was pleased, honored, surprised.
Well, there you go.
I know Jimmy's a friend. I didn't know I was.
Oh.
I just thought I was sort of a ballast that he carried along.
You know, you're the person that he can't live with and he can't live without Dr. Drew.
Maybe I'm that guy. I don't know.
I
never wanted to be that guy, but anyway.
I just like the fact that and thank you for having me as a co-host, Adam and Drew show. I just like the fact that you didn't know who you were going to be doing the show with when
no,
you
No, I walked
today.
In the last episode, the first episode that Brad sat in on, and I was delighted to see a midget standing in front of me. It was fantastic.
when,
than the usual happiness that
right.
dwarves cause.
When would you not be excited? I think...
No, it was immediate happiness because
yes.
I beheld a dwarf, and then it was Brad Williams.
Yes.
And then it was Brad Williams sitting in for Adam. It's like threefold happiness.
I love that. I think that's what you should do. How relieved would you be going to your in-laws and for Thanksgiving? You open the door, there's a midget there.
Rodeo clowns?
Where'd
sure.
that come from?
Or that too.
Now, where did that come from? That was from when I was talking to
Hollywood Improv.
Stone Street.
I was talking to Eric Stone Street at Hollywood Improv. And I was wondering where the clown thing came from, why he became a clown.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, and he was talking about how he used to go to fairs and be like raise
sure.
pigs and stuff. And I said, were you exposed to the rodeo clown? And for some reason it came out as rodeo clown. And he stopped me. He goes, that
oh,
is the most
right.
fucking California
I heard
thing
that
I've
episode.
Ever heard.
Rodeo
do you have
clown.
The follow on? No. Okay. Yes.
You used to have him saying, oh, did you go to the rodeo clowns? Are you a rodeo? Yeah.
Rodeo clowns?
I'm very fond of rodeo clowns.
And in my head,
next
I was
the Gucci
thinking,
store.
I was thinking something of the order of, well, we need some sort of Iowa Fair type accent. I don't know how they pronounce it there, and they did exactly the opposite.
So in order to go, Iowa, you went Uber Beverly Hills.
I went Beverly Hills. That's right. I'm an idiot. And, I was taken to task. Eric did not let that one go. He was like, "What?
You think? You know what? But you know what? That's a simple word, rodeo, which they made fancy, and now it's rodeo. I'm going to start doing that with midget. I'm going to start calling ourselves Mijés.
Mijé.
We are Mijés.
Mijé. Yes, it's good.
Oh,
you're sharp. Yeah, in the Mijés shop at Target.
Yes, Mijés at Target. You'll love my friend Brad. He's a Mijé. He's a purebred Mijé.
A ginger Mijé.
Ginger Mijé. Now I'm having a stroke. Yeah, there we go. Mijé.
I love it.
I think that's our new term. I think that's how I get the LPA, Little People of America, off my back. Is I say, you know what? Let's take back the word. You know, the black people had the N word, which they added the A on the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And it made it better. It made it like, okay, we can.
I love
like,
your logic here.
Yes, now instead of midget, which being the bad word for my people,
we're going to use the French pronunciation of the ET being A.
Midget.
Yes. It's a perfect analogy and a perfect solution.
Ladies, you should totally have sex with a midget. It's very chic. All the Beverly Hills they're getting coffee enemas and they're boning Mijés. That's what you should all do.
We need a more life erudite term than boning. Come on now.
I always like coitus.
Oh,
it's always good.
Copulating.
The Mijés are copulating. They're out there copulating with everyone. Yes. Lovely. They do the doggy style standing up. It's unbelievable. They don't lose traction, you say. Because Mijé, when he's standing, he doesn't cramp up like your reacher boyfriend
does.
Or
notice he doesn't get knee burns, carpet burns.
Darn right. Fantastic. Give advice to the people.
Let's get line one going here.
Changing the world. Line one. We got Rob, 33, from Connecticut. Wait, did I not hit the button?
No, that's it.
There you go. Rob?
Hey, Rob.
Hello.
Hey, now.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Rob?
Yes.
What's up?
I have a question for you.
Good. That's why we put your phone on the air.
So you can talk. I was listening, and then I heard the background that you guys were just closing the show.
Oh, no.
I know. You're on
the air.
On the show right now.
That must have been our hold music or something.
What is your question, Rob?
Okay. So my dog has a hematoma in his ear. It's $1,000. I'm working on it. Saying that I wanted to put a ring in for my girlfriend's finger. We've been dating for a year and a half. I have to pay or provide.
Hey, Rob, ring. I'm going to stop you. Rob, yeah. I'm going to stop you. No, put him on. There you go. Rob, you have a very strange way of expressing yourself. Are you nervous?
Yes.
Okay, relax. All good. It's all good. Your dog's got a big blob in his ear. It's expensive, and you want to get an engagement ring for your girlfriend, right?
Yes.
All right.
Is that your question? Is how much do you spend? What's the actual question?
Can I propose to her husband? Yes, I'm very nervous.
Wait, Rob, I got to know more about you. What do you do for a living?
Yes, exactly. Let's go to this.
I work for the government.
Doing what?
Oh, for the government. That's
that
good.
Narrows it down.
That's good.
Doing what?
I'm a mailman.
Mailman. That's cool.
Oh, you're a mailman.
Well, right. And you're Connecticut, good. So that's got to be kind of a pain in the ass in the wintertime, right?
Yep.
And what's your beat? I mean, what's it like?
Well, my route kind of sucks.
I mean, are you not? You're not in New Haven or something, going through buildings. You're probably out in Westchester, you know, somewhere western Connecticut.
I'm in Manchester.
Manchester. Is anywhere near Greenwich? They have lots of Mijés over in Greenwich.
They actually do, or they would like this way of speaking about Mijés.
Yes.
And so is it like big distances between the houses and no sidewalks, that kind of thing?
No, it's just all walking.
All right. And the houses are close together. What sucks about it?
Yeah, no, it's a good job, but that's not why I called.
I know, but you seem like an interesting person.
Yeah,
we want to sort of know you.
Want to know more about you, Rob?
I don't. Who is fucking
the Brad Williams?
Yeah,
Majet. He's a Majet.
I love Brad Williams.
Yeah, that's Brad. Are you drunk? Are you been drinking, Rob?
I wish.
Okay. All right. We're just trying to figure out Okay. Anyway, you're all good.
I get nervous because I hear different voices.
All right. It's just just a Majet and moi.
Yeah.
Brad Williams, by the way, you're the man.
Ah, thank you very much, Rob. Do appreciate that.
So yeah, you're amazing. Like, I look at, because I just canceled cable and I watched some of your specials.
Well, that's
really good.
Thank you very much, Rob. I do appreciate that. And you're so you're trying to propose to your girlfriend?
Yes, but I'm afraid because I have to take the dog in for surgery tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which costs $1,000.
Does she like this dog?
Loves it.
Okay, so she'll appreciate that you're setting priorities and I would even make a deal of it. I would like go, "Honey, maybe even make a fake ring, you know, like build a little ring. You know what I mean?
What, like an onion ring?
No, like make something. You know how women love you going out of the way and doing stuff that's a pain in the ass.
Paper mache ring.
Paper mache or out of paper clips or something. Mm-hmm. And you go, "Honey, I know how you love the dog. I'd saved and saved and saved to buy you a ring. I had to spend it on," what's the dog's name?
Fenway.
You got Reds
from Connecticut.
Red Sox fans.
I love
that. I had to get Fenway's ear fixed. I am so sorry, but I love you so much. I couldn't wait. So I made this ring. It's a promised ring that I'll fill with a real engagement ring soon enough.
Real diamond.
Here's your ring. And then when you go ask the dad, "Can you have the hand in marriage?" Mm-hmm. Don't mention any of this.
Right.
Okay.
Now, I'm listening.
Doesn't that seem like a plan?
Yeah, that seems like a good idea.
Yeah, but how do I ask him with no ring in hand?
Don't even get into it. He won't care.
Yeah,
if I were the dad, I wouldn't even talk about that. That's your business between you and she.
I don't think is that much of a tradition that when you
no.
that when you talk to the woman's father that you present the ring that you're going to give
no.
the woman? No.
Certain ethnicities, but no.
Okay. Rob, are you one of these certain ethnicities?
No.
I don't
know. Rob from Connecticut. That kind of narrows it down. Okay. No, I don't think you have to present the ring to your girlfriend's father.
I don't think you have to worry about that. I think the person that's going to be...
Just worry about the father thing.
Don't worry about it. He's either going to be into you or not, and you having a ring is not going to make any difference.
Now, please practice a little more so you're not coming off as nervous as you were with the phone call as you are with the dad.
The way you were with us, do not be with the dad. You understand?
Yes.
Be much more confident, much more direct, less stuttering, less rephrasing, just much more direct.
Yeah, practice.
Okay.
All right?
Thanks.
Good luck, Rob.
Yeah.
All right, Rob.
All right, thanks.
And Rob... Stop going to the – no, you can leave them on hold. Stop going to the grocery store to get your dog food. Now you can go to BarkBox.com. Always bite off more than you can chew with BarkBox. Monthly box of 4 to 6 full-size products, durable toys, leashes, treats, and God knows, I'm sure – what's the dog's name again? Oh, Fenway.
Fenway,
I'm sure Fenway. That's not a name for a tiny dog. Fenway chews through his leashes and toys like crazy.
I bet he does. He's a green monster.
The food you get from BarkBox, 100% natural. Elk, caribou, wild boar. I want to eat this stuff. Other lean wild meats keeps the dog fit, healthy. No more hematomas in his ear. Just healthy dog. Three monthly plans tailored to your particular dog size. BarkBox is also committed to helping homeless dogs. 10% of their revenue goes to shelters across the U.S. and Canada. And you will save 20% on your new prescription if you visit BarkBox.com/Adam. 20%.
That's one fifth.
That's ridiculous. BarkBox. Yeah. I don't know how we pull this stuff off. That is BarkBox.com/Adam. BarkBox.com.
Now, Drew, having our last caller, Rob, made me think. Now, did you have to do the thing where you went to your wife's father and asked for her and asked for permission?
You know, I believe I did. I don't remember doing it, though, strangely enough. We'd been together a while.
Okay, so you guys were dating for a while.
Yeah, yeah. It was not a surprise to anybody.
It's funny. My sister's husband, actually, my dad is very much present and very much in the family, but he actually came to me. And,
weird.
Yeah, and asked my permission. He said,
"Did he also ask your dad's?"
Yes.
He asked both. Ask all the male. That's a cool move. Ask all the males in the family.
Yeah, my sister's husband did that too.
Oh yeah.
Really, I was young too. I was like 10.
Oh wow.
Oh my god.
But it endeared me to him. Like that was a classy move.
So when he divorced her, everything was okay. Then you still liked him?
Hasn't happened.
Oh. What's he do for a living?
My sister. He's a teacher. Oh, he teaches at like.
There you go.
A school that's one step after continuation school.
Wow.
So, oh my God.
He seems like a cool – that sounds like a cool guy.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
All
right, let's take some letters. What do you got here, Chris McSpada?
All right. We have – oh, and if you want to write in, AdamandDrDrewShow.com.
Listen, we have a new website, Adam and Dr. Drew Show. You can also click through the Amazon banner there, and please help support this podcast so we can keep doing this. You can also fund anything there at fundanything.com. Fight the patent trolls. Very important. I've been appealing to that for a while. PayPal is also there, adamanddrewshow.com. Support this podcast.
And if you are going to write in, please include your name, age, and where you're writing from.
Because I will inevitably ask these guys that, and they'll be pissed.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. Hello, Mr. Kroll and Dr. Drew. My girlfriend of nearly 1.5 years can never seem to accept accountability. I am 27 years old, and she is 29. Whenever an issue arises, it's never her fault.
Yeah.
For example, she recently scraped the wall with her car. When I asked what happened, she said it was my fault because she went out to get me coffee.
I love it.
I'm also not allowed to comment on said situations because she views it as me attacking her.
Yeah.
She's an only child and comes from a family with means, so I'm not sure if that factors in.
Nah.
This isn't anything that's hindering our relationship just yet, but I see it festering.
It should hinder your relationship.
And once again, that's Richard.
Yeah. Well, that's – again, I think we talked about this earlier, that personality disorders are when people cannot – see anything except the environment's effect on them. They kind of take responsibility for what they're doing, with how they're feeling, how they're acting. It's all what's being done to them.
Yeah.
This is like a minor version of that. He's not describing her having emotional reactions or fighting with him or nitpicking with him or having conflicts. She's just deeply probably insecure and easily shamed. Mm-hmm. So she collapses into shame when she has to take responsibility for something. That is something she could grow out of potentially if she – nuts up a little bit.
Now, but how would you bring that up?
Because I would bring it up in terms of talking about values and living. It is potentially sort of a cognitive behavioral thing. Talk about values and talk about living a certain kind of life and always taking responsibility for your actions. And
sure.
Do it in an abstract sense. And then when if it comes up, go, hey, remember we were talking about? That's one of those things again, but whatever.
And this is definitely something, if she's this dramatic with it, as you described in your letter, this is definitely something that you want to talk to her about and want to address, because how bad are the mothers of children that have this when the kid does something wrong?
That's a child,
it's never the child's fault.
Right, that's a child that can become severely narcissistic.
Exactly.
Because the child will bully and not build empathic concerns for others.
Right.
And if the mom is able to intervene and go, hey, don't hit Willie. That hurts him. Do you understand this? As opposed to, what did Willie do to you that made you hit him?
Right.
You go back and hit him again.
Your child's face got in the way of my child's fist.
Yeah.
What are we going to do about this?
Yeah, that's really rough. I've dealt with a lot of alcoholics that have those kinds of moms.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up they exploit other people. They have a lot of empathic failure, and they can be problematic.
Yeah.
So
there was – when I was in junior high – a kid named Leo. I still remember this. He was the school bully. Just went around bullying everyone. Bullied me. I'm pretty snappy with a comeback. Even at that age, I hit him back with something. He punched me in the head. Broke his hand because I have a melon on me.
You've got a helmet.
Yeah, I do. As I say in my act, I don't have dreams. I have movies. so I've got a head, and then he breaks his hand on my head, goes to the principal, demands that I be suspended.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that's the kind of person that you – that's the kind of child.
He sounds like a guy that grew up – I had a patient once who was like that, and then he's formed a religion.
He formed a religion.
Leoism.
Leoism.
I'm not kidding.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then he has a building on
his name was Leo, too?
Strangely. Maybe the same guy.
Wow.
I doubt the same guy.
I don't know. Could be. Guy. But yeah, so there are some people that refuse to accept responsibility for anything that they do. And that's a dangerous thing, especially to be in a loving, committed relationship with that person in terms of what do you want out of that relationship. If you want kids – that's going to be passed on to the kids, and you don't want that.
Yeah.
You don't want to raise a child like that.
What else you got there?
All right. This one's from Mike. Subject, night terrors. At least once every 2 weeks, my 3.5-year-old daughter will wake in the night screaming and crying, either coherently or incoherently, and even appears to be awake. However, she doesn't notice my or my wife's presence, or when she does, she doesn't recognize us. Our instinct is to try to soothe her, but some of the things we have read on the subject seem to say that we should neither make our presence known or touch her in any way. What should we do in the event it happens? And will these go away as she gets older? Thanks, and keep up all the great work.
Yeah. For sure, talk to your pediatrician about this. I don't have experience with night terrors in that young an age group. I imagine I would actually do a medical evaluation to make sure it's not some sort of a seizure phenomenon or anything. I would just have it checked out just to be sure, because unless there's a lot of chaos in the home or a lot of insecurity where she would be likely to have emotionally based night terrors, I would just double check a medical cause. And then I would discuss with the pediatrician how common this is. It probably is probably pretty common. It's probably is part of a developmental thing in some kids. Mm-hmm. I do like the idea of sort of minimal intervention when you just want to get the kid back to sleep, because that she is asleep.
Yeah, you don't want to make a whole event out of this.
Yeah, you don't want to like, are you okay? Then that will escalate things. I mean, just maybe soothing voices, a little bit of touch, but back to sleep. You're fine. Rather than, who can hold you? You're okay. You're okay.
Right.
No. And expect she's asleep, so she's not going to respond to you. She's not in the world at that moment. And not even clearly having a nightmare. It's at that age, it is sort of a seizure like phenomenon. I would just want to be sure it's clearly not a seizure phenomenon.
It's amazing to me how when you encounter something in your life of a health issue, medical issue, how you think this is only happening to me.
This is only happening to me, and what I'm even more bewildered by, but people don't go to the medical system for help. They go to the internet, they go to everywhere else. And understand that the information you get is vastly different than the wisdom of a clinician who's seen these things hundreds or maybe thousands of times.
Sure.
And has a best approach for your particular clinical circumstance. There's a gigantic distance between knowledge and then wisdom, information and wisdom. And people mistake that. They think, I can look it up online, I'll figure it out.
Right.
And then not only that, but you can't be objective about yourself or your own family. That's why doctors don't take care of themselves or their own family.
Yeah.
And so you need someone who's seen this hundreds and hundreds of times and can make an assessment about your particular circumstance.
Yeah, it can also apply what he knows about you and your family to.
It's infuriating when people bring in stacks of stuff on the internet that basically say to me, the sky is blue, the sky is blue, the sky. Yeah, I know the sky is blue. I know. I knew that in second year medical school. Now, let's talk about what my experience has been dealing with the fact that the sky is blue in your circumstance.
What is that thing that people, even though they're coming to someone who is an expert in their field, they still have to prove that they know something about that field?
It's so frustrating. And it's only in medicine, because if you call a carpenter to swing a door, you're not talking to him about how to do it. You're not telling him. It's my door.
Yeah.
And in my case, we're going to have to – no, guy knows how to swing a door. Let's swing the fucking door.
Right.
Put in the toilet, whatever it is.
Yeah, because if you knew how to do it, you would
be
doing it.
That's simpler than what we're trying to deal with as clinicians. let us do our job.
Yeah.
And all the administrative and bureaucratic stuff that gets in the way of that, it's a mess right now. So anyway.
Yeah, there's that. My dad has some great advice for me. He said, a true sign of intelligence is to know what you don't know. It's okay to say,
and
I don't know.
And also to take and to really expand what you know by taking input from experts.
Right.
And know what an expert is. Be good about that. And you assess experts. And then what kills me is people go, well, Dr. Smith says that we shouldn't be eating paper clips. And I'm like, Dr. Smith barely went to college. Mm-hmm. You want to find out what paper clips are good at? Go to Caltech. Find the leading expert in that.
Sure.
Or MIT or Harvard.
Paperclip consumption.
And listen to that person and listen to their reasoning and look at their publication, their logic, and what they base their judgment on, and then go ahead and take that information. Anyway, we've got to go, Brad. Wrap it up. It's been a pleasure having you here. Sit in for Mr. Kroll. It's been a vacation. Literally a vacation for all of us.
Well,
I speak on behalf of everybody here. It's been a pleasure and a vacation.
Thank you very much for having me. And if you want to continue to follow me and my work, you can go always go to bradwilliamscomedy.com. That's where all my tour dates are, and you can see when I'm coming to a city near you. Or you can listen to my weekly podcast called About Last Night. We have a great guest. Dr. Drew himself was a guest in the About Last Night podcast. I do it with comedian and friend Adam Ray.
Who will be filling in for Adam coming up.
Yeah, so get ready to hear that voice as well. And also you can follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for contributing. And thank you for having me.
This is Corolla Digital.